you know, Satan's two factions of evil are just, you know, raging right now, and no more of a sinister agenda than this, you know, these modern crusades that are going on right now, and this Council on National Policy, Knights of Malta, disinformation, and it's all Noahides too, I believe. I actually believe the Noahide system is already well underway. They don't talk about it. It's very, you know, this stuff is really kept secret, the Knights of Malta and all that. I mean, the Zionists, you know, like places like Rents obviously bring all that stuff out. You know, that makes me wonder right there. But
sadly, most of the few evangelicals who think they've got the discernment to figure that out, they don't, because they're listening to guys like Stan Monteith and reading books by guys like Tom Horn.
Right.
And I just read a book by Tom Horn. The only reason I did so is my brother, who halfway gets to, he really wanted me to read this Tom Horn book. So I did, and I, you know, it was what I expected it to be. But I tell you what, Tom Horn, I'm beginning to think he might even be a temporal coadjutor, or maybe even an unwitting one, maybe a witting one. But there's a...
I actually suspected that a couple of years ago.
One of many problems. Did you really?
Yeah.
You suspected that?
I didn't know it for sure, but I was suspicious of it.
He subtly quotes... he increases it as the book goes along, but he starts subtly mixing in quotes from Romanist church fathers, quote-unquote, and then he starts quoting them as though they're authoritative, and then he refers to Holy Communion as the Eucharist, and by the end of the book, he blames Masonry, you know, everybody's whipping dog, because they're safe to blame.
That's their whipping dog, like right, Masonry. It was for me for a while, you know, I started seeing through that deception, too. You know, even though it is out there, unquestionably, but...
Yeah, they're probably in, like, fourth place, right under the Zionists in terms of the New World Order hierarchy. But what really finally got me right near the end of the book, Horn actually mentions the Knights of Malta, and he calls them the Freemasonic-connected Knights of Malta. And I'm thinking, are you nuts? I mean, yeah, they're Freemasonic connected, but they're controlled by the Vatican. And, of course, he doesn't mention that at all.
Right. Right. You'll hear very little of that. Is in any of these guys that are out there parroting this stuff, they go to a certain point and then, you know, and that's it. They don't really care if everybody hates the bankers.
Yeah, they're safe to hate. Masons are safe to hate.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that Bill and I were noticing, how, you know, with these characters like Ron Paul, it's like, what are they up to with Ron Paul? But they're using him to bring down the banks, I believe. This banking system is clearly, you know, not the mainstream media is talking about the evil bankers. You know, it's out. You know, they're exposed, whatever. But... you can't trust any. And I saw a video the other day that really got me going, and it was on mainstream media. It was on CNBC, and it was about Lloyd Blankfein is on a mission from God or something to that effect. And I thought, oh my gosh, wait a minute, hold the phone. I typed in Lloyd Blankfein, Knights of Malta, and a bunch of stuff came up. You know, he's definitely got ties. You know, but which is confusing, because, I mean, you know, it's confusing to me. But there's just something so sinister going on right now with all this. As we know, you know, we always say it always ends up in the Vatican basement. But, you know, I just was hoping tonight with our insights, you know, respectively, we could really come up with a scenario of what we see heading. You know, as far as I think this whole thing's coming down, and I believe it's a deadly wound. You know, that's what Lloyd says, James Lloyd. And, you know, I still think he's got a pretty good piece of the puzzle over there. You know, but you know, he certainly preaches the gospel, the true gospel, which is ultimately what this is all about. You know, I sure want to end the show up with our emphasis on the uncorrupted covenant, which is you know, what we're up against now, with people are so confused with, you know, the end times comic book theology that's out there. But I really thought that, you know, we could make a, you know, a pretty good stab at putting together a picture of what's ahead.
Well, as far as Ron Paul goes, I wonder. Yeah, I wonder the same thing, who's controlling him. Ultimately, I think he's being controlled by the Vatican. Maybe he's unwitting in that. But when he came out, because I used to like the guy too, but when he came out with a glowing eulogy of John Paul II when he died, you know, John Paul II, that salesman of Zyklon B gas during World War II.
Oh, boy.
When Ron Paul did that, the hairs went up on the back of my neck. And then, of course, what he did later with talking out of both sides of his mouth on the 9/11 issue, depending on who was interviewing him. That just confirmed it for me.
Right.
I guess, bottom line, he's a politician.
Right, that's right. And he's not dead. So
well, I think Reagan was the one that got him, supported him back in the early 80s.
I mean, if Ron Paul was legit, he'd be dead by now, you know.
Yeah, yes. And Bill, you make a good... If that's true...
No, I know that he did. I know that he did. I think that was around 1981 or so, 82 maybe.
That's actually another warning sign, because Reagan was the first president to take the oath of office facing the obelisk, and it was during President Reagan's presidency, very early on, that the over a century old severing of diplomatic ties was ended between the U.S. and the Vatican. And back in 1867, and it was because the Vatican had the prominent role in the assassination of Lincoln, the U.S. severed diplomatic ties with the Vatican. Of course, there's another excuse they give for that, but that was the real reason. It might have been until 1984, but it was during Reagan's presidency that was ended and we gained diplomatic ties with the Vatican. So Reagan was in the back pocket of...
He was honorary Knights of Malta in 1989. He was made honorary Knights of Malta.
Oh, he was?
But, you know, I think his best acting job he ever did was as president. I think Reagan actually had, from the Republicans' perspective, we know that it's all a dialectic, but I think he actually has fooled the Republicans more than any other candidate.
Yeah.
I mean, they look back on this guy like he was, you know, really the role model and everything the Republican Party does.
It's something else that Reagan did while he was governor of California, you know, did a number of horrible things. One thing he did that I came across recently, I can't remember, somebody who is being investigated by Jim Garrison, somebody very prominent in the Kennedy assassination that Garrison was onto and would have led him farther up the chain of the real culprits. The person had fled New Orleans and gone to California, and Jim Garrison, more than once, I think, requested extradition for this person back to New Orleans, and Ronald Reagan refused to grant that.
Hmm.
He plays the game. He covers up.
And it's just a commentary on the masses. They're all just looking for that leader. You know, anybody but Jesus. You know, they just want somebody to lead them. And you know, obviously this is what we have today. But, I mean, Reagan was the ultimate, you know, hero for the Christian right, whatever it was manifested as in that era. But that was well before any of this stuff was, before the Internet, you know. And
he made people feel good about themselves. He was a tremendous communicator. I think he was even a far better communicator than Bill Clinton, who was pretty doggone good himself.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, you know, as believers, you know, and believers are the ones who, evangelicals, who largely voted for Reagan and followed him, you know what? As sojourners here on Earth, should you be striving And should you be desiring to feel good about yourself, or should you not be grieved at the state of the world and the nature of sin?
Well, that's the big thing.
Absolutely.
And
that's the thing. Nobody's teaching sin. Nobody's teaching repentance
Nobody's
teaching covenant. There's hardly anybody even speaks about it. And then when they do, they'll even pervert that.
Yeah.
It's all, calling down the glory that we deserve or we're entitled to because Jesus loves us, and it's just so twisted because they don't consider the goodness and severity of God, and that's the problem. I mean, those of us who understand Scripture these days, all reference to the end time churches is the witnesses in sackcloth and ashes. We're just in mourning and repentance over this fallen state of the church, and that's the condition of the church today, is just in a fear, a feeling of dread. I mean, the Lord woke me up 3 years ago, and I've had pretty much a lump in my throat ever since, because you just know what's coming. And, that's the thing that I called you guys together tonight. And, oh, by the way, we're rolling on the show. There's no reason we didn't really have a formal introduction, but,
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
Why waste all that good information already? But,
what happens a lot is when you do a pre-show thing, you get something good going and you wish you had recorded it.
Yeah. Thanks to the updates on Skype, I was able to get the Pamela recorder going here and, while we were talking. And the next thing you know, here we are. But folks, this is Chris Ardern from Watchman Weekly. And, we've got our guest Gordon Comstock with us tonight. And Bill Johnson is also here. And we're just going to have a roundtable discussion on current events, coupled with biblical current events, which would be used to be Bible prophecy. But as we see now, the prophetic text of Scripture is pretty much real time. It's basically a playbook of where we are today. It's your program guide. And, we're just going to try to, our friend Gordon has just got tremendous insights into the political arena and Scripture and life experiences. And I can say that for my brother Bill and, myself. So we're just going to see where the Lord takes us tonight. But, we're going to try to paint a picture for what we see brewing out there with this, socialist pendulum, pretty much, I don't know how much more damage it can do as this thing, is attempting to swing back hard right, pending martial law and, World War III, where it's heading. It's going to be interesting. But, we're just going to, see what comes out of our roundtable discussion tonight.
Well, it definitely resembles the George Orwellian society that Gordon speaks of.
And that's, yes. Yes.
Where I guess maybe the people will be pleased with that.
What are all the war is peace? What are the
freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength.
We have all that already right now.
Yeah, already.
It's just, I guess it's, how far can they consolidate it? I guess that's the question.
And what's
funny,
the,
though,
go ahead, Gordon.
If you talk to teachers of literature, I'm sure it's the case at the university level too, but certainly at the high school level, literature teachers, almost, 99 out of 100 of them, I'd say. I'd go that far. You ask them how relevant that the novel 1984 is today, and they would say, oh, that's out of date. He was just talking about the Bolsheviks, and there's no more Soviet Union, so all that stuff, that's passé. It makes you want to pull your hair out. It's like, what are you not seeing, man? Open your eyes.
Registered ownership is now ownership, and... I don't know. They're deceived by everything.
Yeah, it's a physical brainwashing. It's come from this television set, I believe, more than any single thing with the Tavistock, suggestive programming. It's absolutely amazing, this literal brainwash smokescreen that people have when you start talking about challenging issues. They just glaze over and can't even go there. How did they do it?
There's a number of people, many of them literature teachers, who if they believe any dystopia has come true today, they will say it was Brave New World, which has in many, many ways come true. But the only way you can pull that off, to think that Brave New World has been more prophetic than 1984, and I, you guys have probably heard me say this, it's an easy litmus test. Ask them what happened on 9/11, and they'll tell you about 19 Muslim hijackers and box cutters and Al-Qaeda, and Osama bin Goldstein. And at that point, just you know what you're dealing with. Yeah. When you realize that there are such things as false flag attacks, and we're living in them, and there have been many, Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11, you could go on and on. When you realize, and that's the one Orwell predicted. He predicted governments blowing up their own people in order to dupe them into patriotism and belligerent nationalism, you know, to foment bloodlust. He predicted that. We're living it. Most people can't see it.
Right, which is kind of developing the Fourth Reich. You know, that's what's been developing out of it.
Which is the most startling thing. Their literature is all there. These books. I'm reading right now as I'm reading Philip Drew Administrator, and I'm just trying to, you know, I say that I understand, but I have an overview, but you know, these people are their documentation is there. You know, it's a big new Brzezinski's Grand Chessboard, and you know, the Between Two Ages, and Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope. This stuff is all right before our eyes. You know, it's just as Mein Kampf was in the libraries the years before Hitler, rose to power, I understand. And it's just, you know, shame on us for not, for rejected knowledge, as, you know, Gordon so often refers to.
That's a book I want to get to one day. Remind me who wrote that one, Chris?
Who's that? That was Mandel House.
Colonel House.
Short little novel. It's an easy read, and I can see where this thing's going. It's absolutely fascinating, and I just want to start expanding my horizons a little bit there. I'll pass it along. I've got it on PDF. But it's a novel, but I believe it's the overview of the New World Order, you know, which is obviously where this, you know, we go back as far as we want to go. The Plato,
if you would know.
But boy, you know, this thing all just really started, you know, getting its roots at the turn of the century. And the things that transpired since then are just, here we are. You know, here we are. And I get these moments of clarity that I just realize where we are today in history, knowing that this, plan of Satan's dominion to sit on the mount of the congregation, you know, is upon us. This thing is right there. You know, how long will the Lord allow it to go before he steps in is the only question. How far along are we? You know, sometimes I can't imagine it getting any worse. But then I also see, you know, possibly some, you know, scripture still needing to play out. You know, I see clearly this thing in that the reference in Revelation chapter 13. I mean, we're seeing Revelation chapter 13 in real time as we see the woman, the harlot church, riding the back of the beast. I mean, that's not the terminology in 13, but it's essentially what it's saying, the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth. You know, the beast out of the sea is the world government, and the beast out of the earth is the harlot church, and how they are in lockstep with each other. And this is what we're seeing today, absolutely, with beyond a shadow of a doubt. And, you know, Revelation 13:2 is, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and a seat and a great authority." Well, that one verse is just a reference to a deep understanding the Lord has given us as far as this end time blueprint, you know, and we see the leopard and the black horse tied to the Nazi empire, you know, the what would that be, the fourth empire, of the final empires here. And then the bear.
Third, I think, wasn't it?
Well, that, you know, yeah, I have to work backwards. Yeah, that'd be the third. That's right. It's the third. And then we've got the bear, also the red horse, which is obviously the, you know, the Soviet Empire. And then we see the lion, which is the British Empire, which is also the white horse. These signatures are deeply, you know, in scripture. And then what does this comes together? These three identities come together in what scripture calls the diverse fourth beast, the pale horse. And this is where we see we are right now. We've clearly identified these final empires all converging at the end of World War II, 1947, 48, you know, probably some of the most pivotal years in history. And, as you know, we've studied this extensively on Watchmen Weekly, where we saw, you know, all these organizations coming together at this time, the World Council and churches, you know, the military industrial complex, the CIA, which was formerly the Nazi SS, and
National Security Act was a big one.
The National Security Act, and this whole empire, the evil forces behind this are absolutely manifested today. As in the last 60 years, we've seen this beast empire just completely, you know, destroy the moral fiber of society, as it's corrupted anything left of a a society influenced by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, you know, we see clearly that we are in the fully in the great falling away, as the Church of Jesus Christ has fallen away from sound doctrine. And you know, we see this metaphorically and physically all around us. And we're probably not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight, other than maybe references to it, because we just studied extensively on WatchmenWeekly.com. But as we see this tying together into the what we were talking about, the condition of the masses as they are still looking for that earthly leader, just like they were at the time of Jesus Christ, when Jesus walked the earth, you know, they knew not the hour of their visitation. And we see all this playing out, you know, again, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. These things happen for examples, for admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. And, you know, here we are. All this replays the apostasy that was manifested ultimately at the time of Christ, when the Pharisees killed the Savior, who they should have known. You know, we see this whole thing playing out again as the religious harlots, the harlot religious system today, is as clueless about what the Lord is doing, because they've fallen into apostasy. The pride, the leaven, has leavened the whole loaf. And, you know, the church is missing this stuff. And, you know, shame on them, because it's very important that we understand where we are. And as we see the Christian right at the helm of the controlling the minds of the group that identifies themselves as Christians, Christianity is completely deceived today, as the these national organizations are leading them into this false doctrine, this earthly hope of an earthly kingdom. And you know, we're going to just try to bring some of that to light, you know, just as a help to the, you know, the people we love. Those, we're just trying to reach the people that are searching and are open to the truth. Because it's the love of the truth that does get you the truth. But when you have an agenda, you know, when you are trying to work the scripture into your life, into your agenda, into, you know, the way you want it to be, it doesn't work that way. You know, what do you think you're doing, tricking God? You know, he sends you strong delusion. God himself sends strong delusion to those who love not the truth. And, you know, we're all three of us. I know I can speak for my brother Gordon, brother Bill, that we are committed to the truth. You know, we know that there's just no option, that making lies our refuge, there's just no future in that. So, you know, I'm just really grateful to be a part of this tonight with you guys.
Oh, absolutely, yes. So where would you gentlemen like to go first?
Well, you know, I just with Gordon's insight into the Knights of Malta and the Jesuits, as we see clearly, this whole effort in the powerful Christian Rite, you know, the most suspicious thing that I know of is the fact that the members list of the Knights of Malta is a who's who of religious and political leaders, you know, in the fort today.
Would that in, are you talking about like CNP types?
Ultimately, the Council on National Policy. Yeah, I'd hope to end up there. You know, if we could try to expose them as I see clearly the most sinister force on Earth. I mean, that's my opinion, and it can certainly be argued. But as far as the deceptive false doctrine that comes out of this organization, this Israel-centric dominionist agenda, which is just an absolute corruption of the covenant of Jesus Christ and solid doctrine, that these men have taken it upon themselves to basically rewrite Scripture, you know, to appeal to the emotion-driven masses. And, you know, here today, you know, this thing is I can't imagine it getting any worse, but I'm afraid it will. And as the Scripture says, it'll deceive the very elect if possible. But we know that the elect are not deceived. You know, the Lord protects his elect. You know, his sheep hear his voice. But we're calling you to this a level of discernment today that is just, there can't be any compromise whatsoever, or you will be deceived. But yeah, if we can, you know, maybe, you know, your insights into the Knights of Malta, as far back as you want to go, Gordon, and then tie it into how they interact with the Zionists, you know, the dual citizenship of so many of the White House staff. I mean, what is all this suspicious stuff about?
No, I actually don't know a whole lot about the Knights of Malta. I know a lot more about the Society of Jesus. I will say this, I want to get this out there, is that the group that is probably the most mind-boggling to me is the Council for National Policy.
There you go. Me too. I'm intrigued by them.
You take guys like Missler and Tom Horn, who, if he's not CNP, he smells like CNP. William Still, another guy who, if he's not CNP, he sure acts like it. And Monteith.
Right.
And it's weird. They
is
will,
Tex Mars in there, too?
Tex Mars? Would they let him
I
in?
Know he's a deceiver. Is he involved in those groups? Or?
That's a good question. Do they let Jew haters in that thing? That's, you know, that's what Mars is.
Right. Oh, absolutely. No question about it. Right.
But on the one hand, I've done shows about this, and I have audio of this. You take a guy like Missler, and William Still did the same thing. They will criticize the Federal Reserve. They'll tell you how presidents are bad. They're always been the only way you get to be president is to be corrupt, and they're all compromised. And then when they got their guy Bush Jr. in there, they were totally supportive of him and said what a great Christian he was. In even though Bush Jr. was a Freemasonic skull and boner and was couldn't quote from the Bible at all and was on record as saying that all religions lead to God, lead to heaven.
Oh, that's the biggest fraud of all time. And it just makes me sick to think of how many Christians actually still believe that, you know, George Bush was a Christian. You know, it just makes me absolutely want to vomit. It really does.
Well,
and this is what's done.
Listen to this. Bill, I'm getting some feedback. Am I breaking up on your end?
No, you sound good over here.
Okay.
I was hearing a little bit of echo myself, but...
Bill, you mentioned earlier that, and I prompted it. I said, you know, I have a lot of evangelical, corporate evangelical friends, but they are the geopolitically the dumbest people I know. And Bill said even the leftists, you know, the hippie types, the atheistic or the Buddhistic hippie types, even they get it a lot more than the evangelicals. And I totally agree. But listen to this. I read a book by Dave McGowan, who might fall into that. I think he would fall into that, the, you know, the leftist type. He gets it for about a lot of things, and it was, the book was Programmed to Kill. And he documented how G.W. Bush, or Bush Jr., when he was governor of Texas, he, of course, signed off on more executions than any governor ever, I think. He seemed to really get off on that stuff. And get this. Okay, there was one girl, one woman, I think, was it Carla, her last Tucker, Carla Faye, Carla Mae Tucker, something like that. She had become evidently a legitimate, gotten legitimately saved in prison, and Carla Faye Tucker, I think, and she had requested clemency from Bush. And I can understand Bush Jr. not signing off on that, saying, no, we're going to go ahead with the execution. That's one thing. But not only did he do that, he publicly mocked her and then killed her. Okay, so he did that to a born-again person in jail. Listen, but do you realize the one person that Bush Jr., this wonderful Christian man that Chuck Missler adores, and William Still, Bush Jr., the one guy that Bush Jr. gave clemency to and let get off of death row, the one guy was, this Dave McGowan documents this, the one guy was, his name was Henry Lee Lucas. The man was not only a serial murderer, he was a cannibal. And it's very evident that during his massacres, satanic rituals were taking place in some of them, apparently. And that's the one guy that Bush let off. Now, where in the hell
does what's Chuck up with Mr. that?
And see, the Council of National Policy adores this man, and they call themselves Christians. What the hell's going on with Chuck Missler?
Yeah, there's a guy that taught Bush how to speak Christianese. His name's Doug. I can't think of the name. His name escapes me right now.
Oh yeah, Doug Weed. Doug Weed was an Assembly of God minister who was hired to teach Christian jargon to Bush Jr. prior to his run for presidency, and it sure didn't take much to fool the evangelicals, not at all. He just learned a few buzzwords.
They want to be deceived. They're willfully deceived because they want Christian leader that they can trust so badly, because heaven forbid they trust a spiritual leader, Jesus Christ. You know, that's the absurdity of all this, and it's worse now than then.
Well, Jesus said that the deception was not going to come out of India or the Hindu religion. He said it was going to come out of Christianity in many places in the Bible. And they can't fool the world any other way.
Oh, absolutely! This thing's got to be a corrupt, form of Christianity, which it is. You know, this is what we have today. You know, this thing is absolutely coming, to fruition. I'm so intrigued by this Council of National Policy. And I'm so glad that you know about it, because I'm telling you, it is hidden. It's very secretive. I mean, we've got the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. I mean, you can find out all you want to know about them, but man, you can't even find out a current membership list for this Council on National Policy. And this is the Christian, right. I mean, this is essentially the power, the Christians, you know, at the helm of the church, essentially, whatever that
is. Another weird fact is that there are some prominent Council on Foreign Relations people who are also in the Council on National Policy. Now, you would think that those would be polar opposites, and yet what are they doing being affiliated together?
Really? What are they? Because that was what's supposedly how Tim LaHaye, started Council on National Policy as a counter to the Council on Foreign Relations, as I understand it.
And I would have to look up, I have it somewhere, and tell you who and how many, but I know there were, at least a couple of years ago, there were several. And I know that's the story we are fed. The CNP was started as a Christian counterpart, Christian secret society counterpart. When are Christians supposed to meet and do things in secret, right?
Yeah.
Unless they're being persecuted, that's understandable.
Yeah.
But to plan, to plot in secret, that's not a Christian thing. But that's what the CNP was started as a counterpoint to the CFR. And yet, yes, CFR members are involved also in the CNP. It may come to me, some of them, but they're in there also. And it's really, where did I read it? Doggone it. I'd have to track it down, but I know it's true.
Yeah, and it's just, these mainstream leaders, Bill Bright, the late Bill Bright, these are heavy hitter evangelicals. I mean, Bill Bright, was Campus Crusaders for Christ. I mean, this guy was, he was a trusted authority. And one that just hits close home with me is an associate of his, Lauren Cunningham, who is the head of Youth with a Mission. These are very powerful Christian organizations, of influential, and they went bad. These guys went bad. I mean, these guys fell into perdition. And how do you know? You know by their fruits. And their fruits are the doctrine that comes, the ultimate thing right now is the seven mountains theology that's taking over. This is the dominant end time scenario in the the Joel's Army, which we won't even go into tonight. We've done enough of that on the Watchman Weekly. But this seven mountains of influence all came from Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham had a breakfast and they shared their dream that they had, and the Lord gave them this dream, which I believe He did. God sent strong delusion. And this seven mountains, doctrine that the church is going to take over society for Jesus and prepare His coming, in glory, is the dominant false teaching going on out there today. Absolutely the most powerful, the most deceptive, and this is leading people to hell. And it's taken over. And this is where it comes from. And these guys all come out of the CNP. These guys are all CNP members.
And they're all ecumenicalists
and
they're being guided by the city on seven hills. So it makes sense they would call themselves seven mountains.
That's right. Yeah. What else is does the scripture refer to as sitting on seven hills? Is the whore, the woman. This is the thing. The Lord gives us these signatures, these prophetic signatures that are just so obvious to His remnant, who has eyes to see and ears to hear this stuff. But the masses see that, it said, and we've been warned that there'd be a famine on the land, not for bread or water, but for hearing of the Word of God. And that's the problem. The Christians aren't studying their Bible today, and that's how come Satan's getting away with all his doctrine. And, this is why, when we saw this week, out of this dominionist signs and wonder movement, it's getting to the point now where there was the gathering of eagles. The Eagles Summit, and for goodness sakes, anybody doesn't know their Bible to know that the gathering of eagles is the feast of demons. Where the eagles gather, where the dead bodies are laying, and this is what this is the absolute. I mean, it was almost word for word, and these people are following this stuff oblivious.
You make a good point, Chris, because so often these people who are, well, there are two stripes, either dominionists or dispensationalists.
Right.
But it's a marvel to see, and it's shocking too, to see how often they will read scripture and understand it as completely opposite to what it is. Think of the classic horrible blunder that in interpretation that the dispensationalists have long taken. I can't remember the chapter, but in Daniel, where it starts out speaking of Jesus, and then all of a sudden, when it talks of making a covenant of Jesus and the covenant, all of a sudden they suddenly believe that the verse inexplicably is talking about the supposed Antichrist. And they put this, what they call a codicil, John Hagee calls it, in between an arbitrary wall in between verses that were, they're talking about Jesus, and then all of a sudden, arbitrarily, they're talking about the Antichrist. It's warping, distorting, twisting Scripture to fit their preconceived, cobbled together false teaching.
Yeah, and it's nothing that the Lord didn't warn us about. You know, that in the end times they will believe fables, and you know this is what we're seeing. Yeah, and it just does my heart such good to hear you say that, Gordon. You know, I mean, how many people see that you know Jesus confirmed the covenant, and they've got this concocted tale of this fabled Antichrist figure, which I don't see in Scripture. I see many Antichrists,
That's where they get the Antichrist supposedly making the covenant with Israel,
right?
But that's still talking about Jesus.
I know.
And they don't. They willfully are ignorant about that.
And essentially, it's hard to dispute that it's a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit because it's making the works of Satan out, you know, to the works of Jesus, brutal.
I wish I was better at quoting Scripture, but you know what? The fact is, I could be Jack Van Impe and be a walking biblical encyclopedia, and the guy's got his understanding all wrong. He might be able to remember verses, but he can't remember the meaning of them.
Right.
I'd rather have the meaning remembered myself.
Exactly. Plus, they rely heavily on the literal understanding. That's the only way they can pass this off. See, most dispensationalists, if you'll find them, you know, on the internet, and I have, they're strong into reading the Bible literally. They can't see, they don't understand the potter and the clay in Jeremiah 18, I believe it is, and Jesus Christ was Israel. He's just Israel.
Jesus Christ is Israel.
There was old Israel, you know, and then there's born again Israel.
But yeah, I had a discussion with a guy a couple weeks ago about, and I heard mention of it somewhere. Where did I just hear this? But the fact that there's no prophecy of the church in the Old Testament, and I thought about that. I go, yeah, that's really a good point. But then I realized that's because there is no church. I mean, the church is, you know, the congregation that Jesus built his rock. You know, the rock that Jesus built his congregation on is simply born again Israel. It's now the house of God born again. Even to the point of saying the church age and terms like that that are just so problematic when you really understand what it, you know, at the cross, the church was translated to a spiritual entity. The house of God became spiritual. And that's why this, you know, I had a note for that tonight that, you know, it's so important to understand Scripture like 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 40 says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. And then it goes on, 41 says, there is glory in the sun, glory in the moon, glory in the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. And that's very cryptic. But when you have an understanding of the metaphors and the spiritual overlay, you understand that that means that you can have a literal sun in the sky, and there's also a spiritual sun that the Lord uses as a reference, as a metaphor for us, for our understanding. And that Matthew 24:29 is talking about the celestial sun, the spiritual sun. Immediately after the tribulation in those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Well, this is talking about the falling away. You know, this is talking about the sun is the light of Jesus Christ, the Word, the living Word that's been darkened. You know, and essentially it's gone. You know, the gospel, the true gospel message, what's the gospel? It's the it's the message of the covenant. And, you know, you're referring to Daniel, Gordon. Well, what is this Antichrist figure, whoever that is? Well, I just call it Satan. You know, I mean, we've got the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. It's as mysterious as the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, this the unholy Trinity. And he will corrupt the covenant with flatteries. And this is what's happened. You know, the beast system has corrupted the true gospel message, the covenant message of the covenant relationship with God, in that if we are obedient, he will be our God and protect us. You know, that the everlasting covenant message has been corrupted. There it is. The sun is darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. What's the moon? The moon is the church. The church reflects the light of the sun. This is a deep metaphoric understanding here. And it's darkened. The moon isn't reflecting this light.
You know why you can't see it, too, is because these scorpions that have come out of the bottomless pit, what is that, the fifth trumpet, Chris?
Fifth trumpet.
They totally blocked the light. So if you're not treading on serpents and scorpions, in other words, you have them under your feet, the only way you can have them under your feet is be on Mount Zion. There is no light. Everything below Mount Zion is completely darkened. I mean, it's just like a thick cloud of locusts now. You can't even see the sun.
That's what the locusts have done. They're caught by the winds of tribulation, because the locust doesn't fly on its own. It has to have the wind to carry it. The winds of tribulation are carrying the locusts, which are, you know, in effect, you know, we've seen so clearly the locust army is this locust of false doctrine that's coming out of these harlot religious movements, and nothing more clear today than, you know, what we were talking about earlier in this Joel's army and the dominionist doctrines. This is the locust out of the bottomless pit, real time. You know, October, what is this? October 2011. You know, here we are. Hey, is Bob with us?
Yes, I am.
Bob, you're here. I thought I saw you jump on. Well, hey, welcome, brother.
Yes.
How are you, gentlemen?
Oh,
good.
Are you guys taping?
What's that?
Are you guys taping?
Yes, we sure are. We're live. We're trying to figure out figure out what's happening right now. We've put some connections with we see this Christian right coming together here, and we're just trying to understand where we're heading as far as the times that we're in with we just went over the sun and the moon and the stars as the falling away, the diminishment of the gospel, and what this is doing to the Christian masses that are so desperately looking for a leader. And
Chris?
Yes.
One thing I do, you mentioned the Knights of Malta. One thing I do know about them from interviewing guys like Eric Phelps,
you interviewed Eric Phelps
several times, and he's a guy who definitely understands the Knights of Malta. One thing I know from about them is that is the secret organization that the Vatican uses to control the world's intelligence agencies.
Yeah,
that's why all CIA heads, all the chiefs, William Colby, etc., George Tenet, the heads of the CIA, they will always be Knights of Malta. Always.
That's right.
Same with the Mossad. Same with the the ISI from Pakistan. They're Knights of Malta controlled. That much I do know about them.
Does that go hand in hand then with the Mossad and with the British intelligence too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. MI6 is going to be controlled by that. Absolutely. And, you know, when you watch Godfather 3, there at the beginning, and I forget the character's name because I'm not really into gangster movies, but I've seen it once, but it shows the Al Pacino character in a Knight of Malta ritual with a bunch of other big head honchos. So, of course, yeah, you got those characters in there too.
But, you know, when you look down the list, it's just so suspicious. So, you know, what tell me. Well, let me tell you one thing that has never – I have made such an indelible mark on my mind. The pitcher, that famous pitcher of Bush Jr., Sr., and Clinton kneeling down in front of the dead Pope. Do you know what I mean? You ever see that picture? And they've got this look on their face like they lost their best friend. It's just creepy, creepy, creepy. And I'm going, what's up with that?
They are subject to him.
Yes.
Absolutely. They're paying him obeisance.
Now, what is that? Expound on that.
You know who could tell you a lot more about this is Charles Wilcox. Because I've gotten emails from him before when a head of state from us or from some other country, whenever they go to visit Rome and, you know, including Obama, and go to kiss the ring, I guess, of the Pope, something big in the news always happens after that. And it has to do with the NWO, but something... Man. But yeah, you see them doing that, and you see them bowing before him, when they go visit him, whether living or after they're dead. But with that funeral, it you really saw who is still the power of the world, just like in the Dark Ages. You know, the kings had to bow down before.
Yeah.
Before the Pope, and that still happens. We just have to keep it hushed up. And keep the Christians in the dark about that.
And it is hushed up. It is very, very secretive. Very secretive.
If I may, Gordon, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Good. Good to talk to you.
I apologize. The internet was down. Hello, Brother Bill.
Hello, Bob. Glad to have you aboard.
I would just like to say that this was all foretold. And you can liken unto the biblical account of our Lord's time to our time now. And the players are the same. They're the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, but it's on a global basis.
It's global now. Right. That's right. That's excellent.
So you're told through Scripture, Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that should come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So our show basically is the meat of Scripture, and we're working with the Holy Bible and just the proper rendering of Scripture. And the proper rendering of Scripture tells you that the Pope's bad, but it tells you that the corner church is bad. And they're identified as the harlot. And it says, come out of her, the harlot system, Babylonian system, spiritual Egypt and spiritual Sodom, and come unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we see, and we can, now we've looked at all of these movements and the churches and the political, but it all comes back to, you know, you have to get in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to come out of the Babylonian system. Now that you've identified it, you have to come out of it. And you have to repent of your sins and come into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ to seek your salvation. The identities of this Malta group and all of the dark arts groups that are out there, that was foretold. They are the tares turning black on a global basis.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, Gordon, you said something before that just absolutely caught my attention. I just was kind of sitting here chomping on it. But, and if any of you guys know anything about this, I found out something a couple weeks ago. Because I admit, I've been looking into this sovereign citizen. I'm trying to understand all that stuff. You know, obviously, we're to find our place in all this. And I'm telling you, I want to just get off the grid as much as I can. I mean,
those days are over with.
Yeah.
There was loopholes and stuff that you could do. It was still very difficult. I studied that, a lot of that stuff 20 years ago.
And, yeah, I didn't want to get off on that too much, but this is what I did here.
I think they pretty much got a lockdown on that. Right.
What does this do for any of you guys out there when I say this? I heard that, you know, with the maritime law and all that stuff and the way that the court system is structured, you know, and the bar, what does the bar stand for? British something something, you know, the whole...
Well, I always looked at it as the sandbar.
Well, I don't think that's what it means, but and then you know, this
well,
is
you
what
cross the bar sea and they bring the ocean time maritime law onto sand onto the earth, but that would just you know.
And I have a confession to make. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to do this show tonight was because I wanted to get some of my questions answered too with you guys, and I thought if we did it as a show, but you know the way you know the with the British imperialists, you know, and all the knowledge that Gordon has brought out as far as the way that, you know, we've never really, you know, we've always been subject to the crown and the Vatican and, you know, the all that. But listen, let me see what I'm going to say. I heard that executions are done under the Talmudic law. What does that mean to you? Have you ever heard that? And I hear Noahide there. And, you know, we see this Council on National Policy all about the Noahides. I mean, I know there's some closet Noahiders in that CNP organization, big time. And I just wonder what you guys had to say about that, if you knew anything about that.
I haven't heard anything about executions being Talmudic, but one thing that I believe is likely, I don't know, I haven't looked into it, but when people say we're going to get Noahide laws, and I don't doubt it, but I'm really wondering if what we're really getting is just a same old, a return of the Inquisition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Everything's relabeled, but the agenda's the same. You know, I think we're in the modern Crusades, and I believe that the Lord stopped it in the Middle Ages, and I believe it's... I think that this whole thing is coming to a head. I believe that, you know, we're there. And, you know, this is another thing that brought this all about. And, you know, Bill and I have been studying Revelation chapter 11 deeply. And Bill piqued my interest a couple weeks ago so strongly by saying that if we can get a hold of Revelation 11, I think it's going to be the key to understanding, you know, where we're at. And we haven't even talked about this yet. That's how fresh this is. I mean, when Bill said that to me, it just got me going. And I said, I'm going to dig in there as hard as I can. And I just passed the notes on to Bob and Bill just a couple days ago. But, you know, we see Revelation 11. We see the witnesses, the two witnesses, you know, giving their testimony. And I, you know, on is this happening fully manifested now? I don't believe so, but I do believe that it is manifesting, you know, a type and shadow right now, you know. And we saw this week this Bill Johnson, not our Bill Johnson, another very powerful. This guy's got a gigantic following, all signs and wonders, Dominionist, Reconstructionist guy in these Bethel churches, the Bethel Redding, California. This guy was what the Lord meant when he said they will have words as smooth as butter. And, you know, I hear corrupting the covenant with flatteries, and you know, I think of this guy. And there's on the internet, there's a YouTube video, and there was, you know, thousands of people in this auditorium. Guy stood up in the middle of the auditorium and proclaimed truth to this guy, spoke truth into this meeting. He was rebuking the guy, you know, for false doctrine. And this guy, you know, he got hauled away. And, you know, the crowd cheered.
Jesus, and the crowd was cheering for Barabbas.
Yeah.
Yes.
We saw this playing out right now in real time. And we see it in Revelation 11. And, you know, the thing is, Revelation 11 is the fifth trumpet. You know, it's the scorpions, the locust scorpions out of the bottomless pit, which is what this was. This was a manifestation of that. You know, these are the guys that are the locust scorpions, you know, propagating these false doctrines. Today, you know, that the locusts have eaten, you know, the years that the locusts have eaten, you know, the years and years, generations and generations of these false doctrines that we've you know, where we're seeing the final end game of now. You know, it's been over 100 years, you know, since the Schofield Bible, the rapture cult tech, you know, theology, and then the Azusa Street revivals, and, you know, William Branham and all these guys. You know, we're seeing these generations and generations of this demonic anointing being passed along, the Toronto airport, the Brownsville thing, Todd Bentley with Joel's army, which is the army out of the north, the Gog Magog war, which is a whole other story in itself, you know, the tattooed to his chest, you know, this is a guy these people are flocking to because, you know, of the signs and wonders that he's bringing out. But we're seeing Revelation 11, and I'm telling you, and this is the reason that it gets down to the fact, and I'm just sharing this now for the first time with you guys. We've been going back and forth about the martyrs and the two witnesses, the multitude, and I'm seeing the sixth trumpet, the second woe. You know, the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet are the three woes, which are essentially the carrying out of the sentence of the first four trumpets. The first four trumpet judgments are the indictments, the last three. We see the fifth trumpet absolutely manifested today. Is it ultimately manifested? I don't know, but I see it absolutely in real time. And I see that sixth trumpet as the martyrs. I see it physical. I don't see any way around it that this is what we have. And when we see the pale horse, as we talked about so clearly, you know, in its end game, having the diverse fourth beast, the pale horse is absolutely controlled this global scene for 60 solid years since World War II. And, you know, we see the rider is death and hell. And I don't see any other alternative for where we are today without a massive replay of the Bolshevik Revolution, the Nazi Third Reich on steroids times 10. And that's why I just felt so strongly about getting some of this information out. We're not going to set dates, but I don't think this thing's going to end well, guys, as far as anybody who's not in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, that's why I felt so strongly about this. And I see this, all this, you know, what we see this turmoil being fomented with these Wall Street movements right now. And this isn't going to end well. I don't think this is going to end well. And, you know, it's, what are we seeing now? The, you know, Emmanuel Goldstein de jure, Ahmadinejad, he is out there right now with this contrived, I believe, assassination attempt. Things are hot out there, and things are really hot. And that's all I have to say. If you have anything to say about it, if you want to sit there silent for a minute, that'd be fine too. Didn't mean to stop the show, guys.
Well, I'm on level. It's very difficult to take the Holy Word of God and lay it onto your generation, and then to understand that, you know, this is some pretty sobering information. And the man is building his Tower of Babylon every century, every generation, and this is the best we could do is end up with people fighting in the streets because they're under a usury system. But that's what the Bible says. That's what's going to happen. Is it going to be a physical manifestation of people getting their heads cut off? On one level, we have a metaphoric application that getting their heads cut off is a separation from our Lord Jesus Christ. And on another level, why would these people in power even really worry about that? They're pretty well set. They've taken all the poor's money, and that was foretold. And they're not leaving any of the fields to glean. People are starving to death. They're killing babies and children. And as it's applied, this is exactly what Scripture is telling you, is this is going to happen in some generation, and it's going to come to an end.
James chapter 5.
Yes.
Rich men weep and howl.
Yes.
What's that, Gordon?
Rich men weep and howl.
Yeah.
And there's James no escape 5. For them. There is no escape. The problem
they're
is...
the rich in spirit as well. You know, that's why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, that's a broken man with a broken, contrite heart, a humble... The rich in spirit, they exalt themselves.
Yeah.
Yes, I won't argue with it. It's talking about wealth there, too.
And as this proceeds, we look and we say, you know, this is some very sobering information to be imparted on a man to understand scripturally his generation. Because you begin to see through the dark glass of the world and see that this is all for the Lord's purpose. These are vessels of wrath, these people. And they think they're doing the will of the Lord. Whether they're Mormons, Zionists, pre-tribulation rapture, they think that they're right and everybody else is wrong. And the scriptures foretell they're going to act just like the scribes and Pharisees. And that's what we have. We're under a usury system globally, where the natural resources of the earth are being stored up, and only a few can use them. And the people are beginning to starve, even in the United States, where they've been starving for centuries all over the world. It's just
I'm
this.
I'm trying to figure out where and when Christians thought that usury was okay.
Well, Gordon, everything is turned upside down. Not only the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ taught in the church upside down and wrong, but the whole system is an offense to God. And in when you recount this, it's scriptural. Matthew 17:27, notwithstanding lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first come up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them, for me and thee. And this is our Lord, you know, creating a miracle, because the system he's in, the Roman system, the world, the fleshly system, is so offensive to him. That he's conveying the message that, you know, you're in the world, but be not conformed to this world. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may find what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even though you're in the world. And the Lord will provide. And we're in Rome, and we're in spiritual Babylon, and we're in spiritual Egypt, and we're living in it, and there's no way out. And what people don't understand is the flesh understanding is true, but if you do not come into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, you will not see this, you will be deceived, you will follow one of these fleshly doctrines of men, and when the great white throne judgment comes, when our Lord comes back, and he's coming back, there will be no 1,000-year millennial reign. It's great white throne judgment time for all. And that's scriptural. And that's the fact. Now these Malta guys and the church guys and the Pope guys and the guys at your corner are all in the same lump. You're either in Christ or you're not. And it's a hard saying, but it was told, and this isn't the proper, I'm just going to paraphrase it, preaching Jesus Christ, him crucified, would be foolishness to the last generation, and it is. You will not hear this in the church.
Yeah, they have, I think, they've been deceived by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, like we discussed last week, and I actually answered a lot of that in that one little study I just put out a few days ago, too. It's in there. Christians want to be deceived.
Yeah, they just want
to be deceived. Well, not so much. Let's put it this way. The flesh wants to be deceived.
Well, they want flesh.
The flesh wants to be deceived.
As always, they want fleshly answers. They want it now. And, you know, seeking the Lord means waiting. You have to wait on the Lord. That's the problem that people can't deal with, and especially in this generation. You know, this, the generation in Timothy that says that perilous times will come. That's why these times are so perilous, because, you know, the baby boom generation is this final generation that has been taught this sense of entitlement that they, this prosperity that we've grown accustomed to is something that we're entitled to as Americans. But unfortunately, that's going to come to a screeching halt here pretty directly, I believe. And, you know, the way I see this thing playing, I'm just going to throw this out, and this way I see this thing playing out. And I see that this beast system that we've absolutely been under, you know, and the pale horse system is about to receive its deadly wound. And the deadly wound will be healed, the ultimate healing of the deadly wound. You know, we've seen this thing is cyclical. You know, all these empires have had deadly wounds. But, the Nazi Empire, the British Empire, the Bolshevik Empire can all be tied to this as far as that. But I really believe the Pale Horse is about to receive its deadly wound with the Little Horn at the helm, the Little Horn being the nation state of Israel and that Edomite Empire. And I believe that it's going to be healed. And I believe when this thing is healed will be the time of the real ultimate deception, as we see the dominionists and the dispensationalists merging, which is the most intriguing thing of all. I can't, you know, as their doctrines are so far from each other, but we're seeing them somehow melding. You know, we maintain that has to happen before Satan truly does sit on the mount of the congregation, as it says in Isaiah 14. But,
Chris,
you know, yeah.
There is one thing, you're right, the dispensationalists and the dominionists, most of their doctrine is far apart. However, their language betrays them. They're going to be able to get together on language alone, because think about it, the language they use, both of those groups use the term the church with a capital C.
Exactly.
And guess who they're serving? You know, the ultimate group that says that is Rome.
Yeah.
So it's all a big ecumenical Babylon.
So it's Babylon. It's like
my own personal belief from what I've studied. I know this goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, and it's gone through many generations pre-cross. But I almost sit to the point now where I have done enough study that I've seen almost everything that's actually in the last 1,700 years has been birthed out of Rome. It's been birthed out of the RCC.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing,
It's a hard
now,
sell,
Now, are they
though,
still divided
it?
Amongst themselves? Yes. Are they still going to fight and stab each other in the back? Yeah. I mean, Satan's house is divided, but that's what I've really observed in my researching.
Well, that's where Satan's power comes from. It's the two horns, the two factions of evil, and the false prophet that looks like a lamb and speaks like a dragon. And, you know, ultimately, Gordon, how are they going to do this? Well, they're going to do it with dragon speak. They're going to do it with the dialectic. Somehow, they're going to dialectic their way into the dominionist and... it is what's going to happen is that this deadly wound's going to happen, and I believe it's upon us. I don't know how long it's going to drag out, but what's going to happen, see, is these raptures aren't going to get raptured, okay? And that's going to be a huge thing because, you know, this is why the churches were emptied out in Europe, why Europe became so dark after World War II, because, so many of the Christians then, you know, you tell somebody during World War II, during... Blitzkrieg or something, that there's a coming tribulation, you know. I mean, this was a manifestation to them. I mean, absolutely. This stuff is all cyclical, you know. It's all been running over and over. It's the apocalypse, you know, the Armageddon script, you know. And we're going to see this final thing, final manifestation happen. And the dispensationalists aren't going to be raptured. And sure. That's going to cause a heck of a lot of confusion in their ranks.
And they're vulnerable to a psyop too with their stupid alien abduction thing. That the government could pull one of those on them.
I still can't imagine what's going to come out of that. I mean, I can hardly go there, but I mean, all I know is the reference to the.
I got news for those three dispensationalists like Chuck Nistler.
Yeah.
And others, you know, like we'd mentioned, Tom Horn, he's another one. All these guys, another thing they do is they talk a lot about alien abductions and chalk it up to demonic activity. And, yeah. You know, while I wouldn't rule that out completely, I think we need to hugely de-emphasize that. Because the fact is, and you know who said this, and he's right, it's a secular guest on the Visigoth show, Andy Colvin. He gets this. He said, the government doesn't care if you want to talk about alien abductions and chalk it up to aliens. But he said, if you chalk it up to CIA mind control operations, then you're going to get monkey. You're going to get screwed with. And he is right. It happened to me. I think the alien abduction thing is it might entirely be a man-made thing, but I think it's much more a man-made thing than anything else.
I agree with you.
It's a mixture. It's CIA mind control ops and satanic ritual abuse amalgamated, and that is what you should attribute to the alien abduction phenomenon.
Yeah.
And actually, well, it is aliens. I mean, it's just spiritual aliens that are, you know, they came into Cain, you know, 6,000 years ago, spiritual aliens came into Cain and he slew his brother. And what it does too, it's a convenient excuse, the alien thing and the these devils and angels or whatever, fallen angels and that whole Nephilim garbage. It takes away the what's the word I'm looking for? It takes away the responsibility for man's sin.
Yes.
It's surely not our sin. It's this.
Well, that's what Satan's doing. He's got everybody's attention on everything but the condition of their heart. And, you know, this is why the abomination of desolation is fully underway. The oblation has ceased. You know, he will cause the daily sacrifice to cease. And this has happened because what is a pleasing sacrifice? A broken spirit and a contrite heart. This is what is pleasing to the Lord. And this is what you just don't hear. You don't hear the church in sackcloth and ashes over their fallen state. And this is why, you know, it's just not gonna be good. But yeah, you know, I mean, what I do is now in this time, you know, like on Watchman Weekend, we can hardly even do current events anymore. There's so much disinformation out there on the websites, the news. You don't know what to think, but you do know Scripture, because when you have the Holy Spirit and the revelation, from the Father, that's something you can know. You know, you can know and you can teach it. And I don't have all the answers either to this alien thing, you know. But I do know one thing. I do know that the Mighty Men references in the Scripture is talking about these end times false prophets that are bringing forth. This is the power from the north, the power out of the north, the Mighty Men, the strong ones. These are all the powerful Christian false leaders that are on the scene today. You know, it says, what does it say in Revelation 11? It says it in both places that the scorpions of the earth have power. And I'm telling you what, these guys have got power. They've got.
Where do they want to push? They want to shift this north to being Russia.
Yeah, well, that's what
and this was all. I think it was this all stuff from Hal Lindsey and everything. Anyway, they're just all parents.
Yeah,
the same.
You know how far back you want to go, but yeah, that's the comic book theology. Everything flesh, but the power's out of the north. It's the false teaching that has diminished the gospel. And this is, you know, the thing that it talks about in Joel, that, you know, God will remove this army from the north, you know. And this army, the Joel's army, is the bad guys. I mean, this is the army from the north, and this is what this whole religious movement is identifying with. I mean, that's what I know. That's what Scripture tells me. And the Lord testifies it and confirms it in my heart, and I can teach that. Now, is there manifestations of that in this CIA, you know, mind control? What is going on there? I don't have the answers to it, you know, but this is what I do know. I do know these references to these powers are the powers that have the locusts, the generation upon generation of locusts that have eaten away at sound doctrine. And then, but don't forget, there's good news here. The Lord restores this. The multitude, it says in Jeremiah that the residue or the is not like them, and the remnant of Jacob returns. Those who escape Judah and take root downward again. The Lord says that He restores the years that the locusts have eaten, and you know this is the understanding in Joel that I had in my life because I sat under this false teaching. I always knew something was wrong, but not at a point in my life where, you know, I use a reference to, you know, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, a friend of mine sent me an email where it said, no way could an airplane have crashed into the Pentagon. I went, oh, okay, whatever. I clicked, delete. And it didn't even, pique my interest at the time. But it tells me where I was those years ago with my ability to question. And because I didn't care. I was caught up in my fleshly world. But in those years were the years that the locusts had eaten away from the sound doctrine that I was trusting in. And what do you know? In the last 3 years, as it says in Joel chapter 2, that the Lord will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. This has happened to me in my life. You know, the lies, the hail has swept away the lies in my life. I've experienced this. You know, the Lord has replaced these lies with truth. And it's all come out of persecution, you know. I was kicked out of an evangelical megachurch over these issues, you know. But all this stuff was all strength. You know, this thing broke up my marriage. I pull into the driveway where my ex-wife is living with her new husband with my kids. And the knife that's in my heart gets another twist every day, every time. But every time, it just pushes me to the Lord because all this time, this stuff, it just has built my relationship with the Lord to where I have nowhere else to go. And I'm just locked into His yoke as tight as I can be. And I'm good. I'm good, you know. And, go ahead.
I appreciate and agree with your interpretations of the darker and more arcane passages of Scripture like you just led off with in that monologue. Because I'm frankly sick of reading books and hearing about evangelicals talking about things like the Nephilim and as it was in the days of Noah and the aliens are gonna plant their intermingling seed with us and all of this crap when it gets to be like chasing after Bigfoot.
Right.
So and when there are a million more pressing issues that you just listed some of them. The no-fault divorce and the collapse of the family in our society. The fact that the Vatican's been bumping off our presidents since the 1800s. The fact that our churches are enslaved and made covenants with the Gentiles. The fact that we ourselves, as husbands and fathers, are enslaved and we've given over property rights that God would have given us. We've given them to the state. And the state owns our children and owns our wives. Well, why aren't these idiots talking about that? The Chuck Misslers. And the Tom Horns. Where is that? Then instead they're talking about this spooky Bigfoot stuff with the Nephilim. I'm tired of it.
I'm tired of it, too. I'm very tired of it, quite frankly.
They are the money changers, Gordon.
Yeah. Right, they're not in it. Part of the problem is, you know, the bottom line is love of money, too. You know, people want to buy science fiction. Even when Tyndale was writing the Scriptures, he said, a lot of the wealthy people that could read, he said, they didn't want to read the Bible. They wanted to read Robin Hood. He said. And
it's the same today.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just the money changers. They're in the temple. And anything to dissuade you from entering into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name of the game. That's the basic synopsis, and that's what was foretold in Scripture. And it was likened unto that a great army would come into your land. Well, if you're the temple of the Lord, you own that land. And your house is under that land. So you need to tend to your house. You need to keep your house in order. Because you're living in Babylon. You're in captivity. But you own the land. And if you think you own the land, it it's actually the Lord owns the land you're on, and he tells you to take back the land. The battle of the gate, the battle for that the gates of hell will not prevail against, is against your mind and these false doctrines out there.
Amen.
And you have, even though you have, we're going into CIA conspiracies and this conspiracy and that conspiracy, it was foretold these things will happen, but you have to do the will of the Father. And if you're not doing the will of the Father, you're going to fall into one of these movements, and these movements are going to carry you and your family to and fro. And a ravaging lion is going to come in and destroy you. Yes.
I would like to get your opinion, Bob, and also Bill and Chris on this. Because, and Chris, you might have been privy to some of this, I'm not sure. This week, my friend Visigoth, he got two separate emails, two separate incidents from two separate, all-millennial dominionists, I guess you would call them. And they were saying that we as Christians, the will of the Lord that we should be following is to strive to get back our land and to get back our freedom. And both Viz and I were trying to tell the guy, you know, the will of the Lord is to feed the sick, to help the needy, to preach the gospel. You know, we're going to be slaves here. And they were saying that Christians should run for office. And we're saying, no, where did Jesus say that? Where do you guys stand on that?
Well, again, the parables, the examples, the similitudes all say the same thing. We're to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ and to do his will. The problem with this type of thought process is it's man-made. When they're saying you know we got to get a bunch of guys together and get some guns and take back the land, that's not what the Lord's saying. The Lord's saying is you are the holy temple of the Lord, and you need to keep yourself holy. You need to keep your house in order. And if Rome has taxes for you, you have to pay your taxes, and you have to do the legal things no matter where you're at. If you're in China, you give to China's what's China's. Charity is feeding the poor. Charity, kindness, that comes from the abundance of your heart. The charity that they're speaking of is misinterpreted. The charity is preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the poor are the poor in spirit. And in our generation, they're under the famine of the land, and that famine is for the word. I can tell your audience, it's just go into Target and go see if you could find yourself a King James Version Bible. You won't find it. The biggest book that was sold in history 20 years ago that was in every single hotel room, every single house, is gone. It's off the shelves. Now you have diminished works, Bibles that don't give you the proper renderings of scriptures, and you have these people, these, what was it, premillennial, whatever their thought process are, they do not give the proper rendering of scripture, so they'll take their movement that's an ungodly movement, and they'll go out and they'll want to take back the land. Well, they don't know what they're talking about.
What was creepy is this guy, one of them, he was all for the KJV. He knew about that the KJV was the Word of God. But he was going to have Christians run for office, and I just don't see that.
I just pulled his email.
I read through part of that letter. They're deceived. You know, it's just the goals, builders, and climbers mentality. They really don't understand what a real Christian is. They're just deceived. They want to be Christians in the flesh. Jesus, why didn't he tell his disciples, you know, to start running for the Roman Senate and see if he could make some changes there?
Yeah, it's a real dilemma. It really is. It goes against our, oh my gosh, this stuff's been so ingrained in us, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance and the, you know, all that stuff as you go along here and you realize how fraudulent everything is. But, yeah, I pulled this email up. The guy said, God has established three corporate governments, quote-unquote, the family, the church, and the government.
Could I interject real quickly?
Go ahead.
Jesus is life, L-I-F-E. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no life. If you're not in Jesus, there is no life. A dead corpse has no life. God doesn't make things that are dead.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, Gordon, you can't, you no matter what you apply scripturally to this man, he won't see it.
No,
because his flesh won't allow him to see it.
I recall a story from a woman, very good friend of our show. She was in the Patriot movement, and I mean ingrained, you know, pulled the dead cult out of my hand, ingrained.
Yeah, I know the type.
And as she was proceeding to go and she was seeking the Lord and doing the will of the Lord, she came to the conclusion through her studies that, you know, it doesn't matter where I go. You know, I'm in Babylon. I'm in spiritual mm-hmm. Egypt. And the Lord has me here for his purpose. And I can't hide. I can't be a light under a bushel. You know, you're the light of the world no matter where you are. And preaching this gospel is very offensive to people. Very offensive. Because they can't manipulate it. The proper rendering of scripture for that gentleman under the context of the letter is that he's in error scripturally. And the majority, probably 90% of the people that are under these corporate churches, would follow the idol shepherd that he is.
Hireling
shepherd. They'll never see it coming.
Yeah. That's why Jesus told, Peter told him in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost to save yourself from this untoward generation. And, you know, just after generations and generations and generations, just like when Jesus showed up, you know, generations of traditions of man just turn into complete blackness. And, you know, and that's where we are today. I mean, it's.
Look, well,
that's all they
Goldfield
understand is traditions of men. What did you say there, Gordon?
I said that's exactly how we got Schofieldism. In 150 years, look how quickly that spread as a tradition.
Right. Yep. Yeah, you know, like our generation wouldn't even question it. Like, I you know, when I first woke up, I was going along, and you know, and I stumbled upon some information about the Schofield Bible, and I went, wait a minute, what? And then I looked it over, and I said, there's something to this. I'll get back to this. And I don't know, a couple months later, I went back to it. And, you know, it's just, you never even considered there being anything wrong with the Schofield Bible, for goodness sakes. The thing was probably one of the single most influential, ways that Satan has, you know, crawled up onto the mount of the congregation, you know, with the, you know, attacking the identity of Jesus Christ. I mean, the identity of, that's what we said earlier. The identity of Israel, as the church doesn't know who they are. You know, they've forsaken their heritage. You know, that's what you tell a Christian you have to return to your heritage. They think they got to return to Thomas Jefferson. And I'm sorry, that's not our heritage. You know, our heritage is Abraham's seed, you know, and a covenant people with the living God. That's where our heritage is, and that's been completely corrupted, twisted, distorted today. But, this, you know,
oftentimes we'll talk about 1947, you know, and that certainly was probably the biggest years, 47, 48, and 49. But the 60s were huge, too.
Yeah.
As we know, the women's liberation, that's socializing. They started socializing the gospel there. People, you know, this was probably at the time where they first may have started becoming 501c3s. They weren't 99% back then like they are now. But, you know, Lyndon Johnson, with his great society, I mean, look what he did. I mean, he just destroyed the medical, totally socialized. He made it a war on poverty, and now, you know, and people seem to forget all these things. War on poverty. A war on, you know, when the government declares a war on something, run and cover. I mean, get a new bunker.
And what about the biggest thing of all, I think, is Bloom's taxonomy and the attack on the education system, right?
Absolutely.
And you could throw in a little
That came about the same time. Wasn't that in the late 50s?
What's that, Gordon?
I was just saying you could throw in some pharmaceuticals. Drug up the population. You know, these are all unnatural But, you know, man was not meant to be in poverty. And the biblical laws, the laws that are applied back from the beginning, now and forever, haven't been changed. The people are supposed to be able to glean the field. They're supposed to be able to eat. They're supposed to have water, the basics. And the doctrine and deception of man, and the best man can do, is accumulating into the inhabitants of the earth are now under this system. In World War II, you could say it was likened unto maybe half the world was at war. In our generation right now, all the monies are connected. All the world is under a usury system.
Except for Libya and Iran and a couple others.
No, they are under a world system because they have global trading. It doesn't matter what they're trading, they're still in the system. They're participating in the system. Now, that was foretold that we would have a global system. And here it is. And you're seeing that the outlay of this system is that the serpents and scorpions, the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees are profiting so big that there's nothing left for the poor. And the deception that's upon the land, even the Christians are deceived. And that's when you're told that when you see these things happening, you know the time is near. And when you get the proper rendering of scriptures, you find that there's a little season where all this is going to accumulate, it's going to be fast, and it's going to hit hard. And we're here.
There's something else that happened in the late 40s, early 50s that I will add to the list that you guys made. And when Jesus talked about in the end times you're going to see diseases, that was another one.
Absolutely, yes.
Pestilences. You know what? There's something nobody's talking about as that I've heard as far as being one of those pestilences, and that is the huge cancer epidemic today.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
I read a book not too long ago that I'd say easily is in the top 10 most important books I've ever read. I couldn't put it down. It was so shocking and well written. It was Dr. Mary's Monkey by Edward Haslam. I'll leave most of the plot out. I mean, I could talk about it, but it's not salient to this point. What is salient about that book to what you guys just discussed is the one other thing that happened in the late 40s, early 50s, the polio epidemic, which in my reading elsewhere, frankly, I am persuaded was caused by the spraying of DDT around the country, the polio epidemic. The polio epidemic, the nationalized, the vaccination program across the country that occurred from Doctors Salk and Sabin.
Right.
You know, we're told in the Old Testament Mosaic Code the way to cure disease, and it's sanitation and hygiene. But we're, you know, being mankind, we got to do it in the flesh. We're going to do it through, heroic measures, vaccinations. We're going to conquer disease. And we were told to not consume blood, and so the vaccines, they contain blood of animals, and we're intermingling all kinds of things. The Lord told us not to mingle. But those vaccinations, this book shows, the polio vaccine was thoroughly tainted with cancer-causing monkey viruses from the monkey kidneys that they grew the polio vaccines in. Monkey viruses. And there were a small cadre of scientists and doctors, you know, all in secret societies, who greatly feared at the time that in 20 to 30 years after they realized belatedly, after they gave so many children, baby boomer children, these shots for polio, they realized, holy smokes, we've incorporated into their bloodstreams, into these children, cancer-causing monkey viruses on a vast scale. There's going to be a huge cancer epidemic in 20 to 30 years. And guess what? There was. And the cancer epidemic dwarfs the polio epidemic.
That's right. And they also created a war on cancer in the early 70s.
Not a war on cancer. Yeah.
Run and hide when they're creating
that. So that's your
wars.
Nephilim right there.
Problem reaction.
If anybody's looking for the Nephilim, there it is right there. Taking monkey brains and monkey stuff and putting it in people's bodies. I mean, you know, that's your Nephilim. That's just evil spirits working through man and stem cell research, whatever, you know.
Yep.
And basically, when you look at this pharmakia is referred to in scriptures as witchcraft and sorcery. And again, you're attached to the money changers are in this. They don't care that they're going to give kids cancer. They're going to make a huge ton of money if they sell a lot of this stuff. And that tells you that how bad is this world in terms of man not taking into account fellowship of his fellow man, of his brother, that they would drug and kill his children for a profit.
Yeah, and then what do we see? We see all these manifestations coming right out of the pale horse, you know, the amalgamation of the black horse, white horse, red horse. This black horse is all Nazi, you know, black science, and we're seeing the you know, the usury, the monetary, the capitalist mercantile system, all signatures of the white horse, British Empire, and the lies, the propaganda, the dialectic. Problem, reaction, solution, all signatures of the Red Horse, Soviet, Marxist, you know, mind control. And here we are, you know, this stuff's all manifested in, you know, in full force. You know, that's why, you know, Obama's the signature on this guy with the, you know, the pale horse. And
his, does it sound like it's riders or death and hell?
I mean, this guy's the rider of the pale horse. You know, it's all there, all there. And, you know, not to, you know, to mention, you know, Bush Sr. was absolutely tied to the White Horse. You know, he was absolutely subservient to the Queen. And, you know, we can go as deep as we want there. We got, you know, Moscow-educated William Jefferson Clinton, you know, absolutely signature of the Red Horse. And Jr., absolutely, you know, Halliburton, come on down. You know, the fascist, you know, Blackwater signatures there, all absolutely as clear as a bell for anybody with eyes to see. I mean,
right.
I can't convince anybody of this. I know in my heart this is right. I know in my heart that this is the truth that the Lord has given us, these four final kingdoms. The seventh kingdom is the martyrs. It's the kingdom of God. And it's the leavened kingdom of God that the martyrs are going to rise out of. Well, before they're martyrs. You know, the church is going to rise up, you know, to meet these forces. And there is going to be a manifestation of power, you know, the former and the latter rain. You know, we see the former rain as the voices in the wilderness now, you know, speaking the truth. And, you know, afterwards, it says, afterwards, the Spirit is poured out on all flesh when, you know, the multitude wakes up. You know, because this is what we see. You know, we see all these manifestations of Bible prophecy have all happened. You know, the temple, you know, we see all, you know, the majority of the Christian church is saying nothing can happen. The temple's got to be rebuilt. And like Pete said when he was on our show, most Christians are waiting for the Sanhedrin when they got the shovels ready to break ground for the temple. And then they got 7 years, and they won't fall into that deception. Watch out for that coming deception. Well, I'm sorry, you know, it's happened. You know, you missed it. Five exits back, and it's just all a shell game. Because the temple is the church. The temple is the body of Christ, the house of God, that has the spirit of Antichrist sitting on the throne right now, controlling the doctrine in the church. And this is all past. Everything's happened. The only thing that hasn't happened is the waking of the multitude, the dead bones, or, you know, the dry bones that the Lord breathes his spirit into, and they stand upon their feet, the great army, the good army. And we see the, you know, the reference in Revelation 11, which is so clear. We saw it this week with that video about the guy, you know, testifying into that apostate religious meeting back in Chicago with, you know, the Bill Johnson from Bethel Reading, you know, just has this crowd mesmerized. As this end-time witness, a clear end-time witness. Was he 144,000? Was he one of the two witnesses? You know, we don't know. You know, we can put these identities, you know, the best we can. He was an end time witness speaking the truth. And I'm telling you what, in that crowd, a great fear fell upon them, as it says in Revelation chapter 11. A great fear fell upon them by the words. Great fear fell upon people in my life that I, when I was speaking against the apostate doctrine that was happening in my mega church, they were always, you know, accusing me of having so much fear. And I was so thrown until I figured out what happened. And the scripture,
they're projecting.
What's that?
Yeah, that's how they killed Jesus, was fear.
Fear.
They're projecting their own feelings onto you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then what did they do? They rejoiced when the guy got hauled out. The bouncers hauled the guy out of the hall, and everybody cheered. They cheered. They rejoiced, just like it said in Revelation chapter 11. You know, it says they exchanged gifts. I mean, you know, that was metaphoric. That guy was killed. That guy was killed in that hall that day. It was, fortunately, right now it's still metaphoric.
Yeah, right. The truth out of his mouth, the fire out of his mouth that he was speaking there.
Yeah.
He was taking away, you know, he was spiritually. This is where you can no longer buy or sell anymore.
Absolutely.
That's what buy or sell means. If you're in the system, if you're in their church system, you can no longer buy or sell in there. So you get to, you know.
Here's the scriptures, Gordon. Revelation 18:23. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by they sorceries were all nations deceived. And these sorceries are basically the merchandising of the pharmaceuticals.
Yep.
You have, and if you get the amalgamation of it's just not the pharmacies now, it's the socialists, the Fabians, the communists, the, you know, all of these movements can be likened unto a amalgamation and a mingling of the pale horse. But no one's going to see
giant corporations that grew out of them. Like, I think you were speaking of this the other night, a few nights ago, with Visigoth Gordon, the American super wealthy.
Oh, The Rich and the Super Rich by Ferdinand Lundberg. Yeah.
Yeah. See, all that lust and everything grew out too in the last 100 years.
And they have a clique, and the people at your corner church have a clique. It doesn't matter at the top of the pyramid or the base of the pyramid. This is all happening to everybody. And there are in samples of what we're to look at in terms of, you know, evaluating, you know, how far is this apostasy? We're behind. How far on our show when we're doing the prophetic readings versus our generation? We're still behind.
I think so. I actually, you know, Chris and I the other night were discussing, and I've pretty much come to the conclusion the 1,000-year reign is over.
Yeah.
And we're in the little season now.
Yeah, the bottomless pit's been open, and Satan's been, he was restrained, but he's been, released. He's released.
The conscience of men has been seared with a hot iron.
Yeah.
Bill, what's creepy is that one guy, one of the emails that Visigoth got, that one dispensationalist, he got the KJV thing, he got the Vatican thing, he got the millennial thing, but then, even though he was right in all that, he got all that, he still considered that we Christians, we're going to make the world right for Jesus to return. It's up to us.
Right, that's the whole mentality.
How do you do that?
This comes out of British. A woman wrote a good book in the early 70s, and I forget her name, that Union Jack.
Yeah, that's a fantastic.
She described a lot of this in there. She specifically wrote several pages just on the millennial reign being their excuse to do this through British Israelism.
It's the New World Order. Yeah, that's how they've gotten the Christians ready for it.
I mean, she didn't have it all right, but she had, you know, she had a reasonably good understanding of many things.
I mean, it's the ultimate Tom Sawyer story. I mean, it's like Tom Sawyer got his friends to to, you know, paint the fence for him. You know, it's like Satan's gotten the church to build his kingdom for him. You know, that's what's happened. And it's all set to pop, you know, and as we see, you know, out of this, it's got, there's got to be something. Well, you know, this is something that, it's in Isaiah 28, isn't it? The rumor and violence on the land. that thing hit me like a ton of bricks today. I go, oh my gosh, I know. I know we're right here, folks. I just know we're right here. I just know this thing is just going to pop loose. And the perplexity, the, you know, it's time for Christians. You know, we got to buckle down, get into that word as hard as we can, and, you know, be able to make these decisions, because the stress is just going to be so overwhelming for those who aren't prepared. And, you know, it's just got to be the Spirit of the living God.
I thought of this, I mean, many years ago. Can you imagine being a predispensationalist, and then when you realize the rapture didn't happen, what a shock that's going to be to your faith?
I know. Well, you know, that's what I don't know how authentic that thing is, but the note between Pike, Albert Pike and Mazzini, you know, the plan for the three world wars, and there's some really deep, it's very cryptic the way it's written, but it says to cause, you know, Christians disillusioned, you know, to you know, they'll be ready to accept the, you know, the doctrines of Lucifer. But, you know, you see that coming, you know, this mega church movement has left the Christians disillusioned. And that's how they're so open to some of this charismatic doctrine, because it does, you know, it does touch their senses. And it sounds good. It sounds right. But that's because they're not prepared scripturally. They don't have the word in their heart. They're not studying line upon line, precept upon precept. But yeah, it's going to be, you know, absolutely, Gordon, I agree. The disillusioned Christians are going to be the ones that are just, you know, and that's going to be all part of this deadly wound cycle, when the deadly wound is healed and whatever rises up out of the ashes of this thing. And, you know, the other equation, I got one more thing. I don't want to forget, and I'm pretty much said everything I need to say, but, you know, the other equation we haven't even talked about is the Mormon thing. I mean, because there's something really deep about the Mormon connection. There's another part of it, more false doctrine. I mean, Mormon church at the end of my street is packed on Sundays. Because, you know, probably a lot of them are evangelicals that have come out of this lukewarm mega church scene. They're probably hearing something down there, you know, based on the restoration of the Constitution. You know, it's all American, you know, nonsense going on in these Mormon churches. And it's all attacking the identity of the multitude. You know, they believe they're the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh, you know, ultimately in their doctrines.
The mentality, too, in the Mormon religion is stockpile and protect your own and stuff. And I can see where that mentality plays into the patriot side
very
of things
appealing.
Here.
Yeah, very appealing. But, you know, Satan knew the doctrines to attack. You know, the 144,000 were attacked by the Jehovah's Witnesses, a twisted, Judaized, you know, Freemasonic. I guarantee, you know, I'm sure that the Jesuits are, you know, somewhere in there, too. And, you know, the Mormons. Yeah.
And this is very informative in terms of going down the rabbit hole for your audience, Gordon. And in terms of saying and pointing fingers to this church and that church, you know, we don't want to do that. We want everybody to repent, and repent just means take another look at this. Take another look at it scripturally. You know, and the only way you can do that is to repent of your sins and enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because
and
these
get out of covenants with the Gentiles.
Yeah. Well, again, you know,
Hey, Gordon, what do you mean by that? That was awesome. Would you expound on what it means to be in covenant with Gentiles?
Well, specifically, we talked about how difficult it is for the individual to get out of covenants with the Gentiles earlier. You know, to some extent you can, but how do you get out of paying taxes? Good luck on that one. But I was really referring specifically to the churches. You know, you want to be claiming to be the representatives of the Lord, the institution of that, you need to stop being double-minded, stop taking gifts from the Gentiles in the form of tax exemptions, stop making covenants with the Gentiles, stop taking shoe latchets from the King of Sodom. You've done all of that, and you need to stop.
Yeah. Understanding that the Gentile is the heathen, and that the Jew is a spiritual Jew. We are the body of Christ are the spiritual Jews, the Jews inwardly whose hearts are circumcised. You know, that's the understanding that we have to.
Was it back in the story in Abraham in the Old Testament?
Totally right.
Where they weren't allowed to take a button or something or a shoe latch? From those people? Yeah.
The king of Sodom.
And again, we go back to the miracle of the fish. You know, we have it pretty good here in the United States. It's abundance, and we've never been very hard pressed. But all over the world, this is a global event happening. That people have been under this deception and have been following these doctrines of demons, and it's all bad. And now you're coming to a point where, you know, some people are just never going to wake up to this fact. And they may go into a movement that they're going to try and, violate the laws of the land. And the real Christians are told not to do that. You know, the judgment will come from God himself, from our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to, those acts that you talked about in terms of not taking the tax exemption. Well, that tax exemption took away the Christian's ability to give charity of their heart. Now they look at it as a financial matter.
Yeah.
And all the institutions that they give money to, none of that money goes to the people. That goes to the administration of those charities.
Right.
And Joel, we're told, therefore, also know now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and mourning, and to rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. Repent of him of the evil. And that's telling you that, you know, that there's great evil in the world right now, that it's never been an accumulated evil as it is now. And it's likened unto the days of our Lord. He only had 12 disciples, maybe 120, 130, before Pentecost, that followed him exclusively. But the rest, you know, a couple million people in that time, they were all in apostasy. There was a great revival. It happened. It went through its, we said the cycles of these amalgamations of scripture. But it comes to an end when it hits the global. And we're in the global right now. And there's, you know, you cannot define that this system is not affecting everybody on the face of the earth. And when you're told that when you see these things, you know, to stand in the holy place, the only thing that will save you is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. And that's pretty much what the Bible says about this situation. And even though we have all the identities at the top of the pyramid, these identities are happening in your corner churches, no matter what denomination.
And the thing we got to remember is we're talking about the real Jesus Christ, not the other Jesuses that we're warned about, that many false Christs will come. And this is what, you know, the harlot churches, the corporate churches are just controlled by other Jesuses today. You know, then I'm seeing, like, one of the most dominant doctrine I see out there right now is this all you have to do gospel, this gospel that all you have, you know, it's the misunderstanding of faith. When the righteous shall live by faith. But what is that faith? That faith is an absolute surrender of obedience to the Lord. It's obedience. And we hear anytime, you know, I've run up against this many times, and anytime you reference obedience, you're slapped with a heresy of works. You're preaching a works gospel, and that's not the case at all, because we are a covenant people. And the covenant is a conditional if-then covenant. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will heal their land. The land that Bob was talking about earlier, our spiritual land, you know, and he will be our God and we will be his people. I mean, this is, a privilege that we have. You know, Christians have the ability to enter into covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. and you know, this covenant's been corrupted. People don't even know what the covenant is today in this harlot church system with this all you have to do gospel. And that's not the case at all. It's you know, surrendering your life. You know, it's losing your life. If we lose our life, we keep it. And if we keep our lives, we lose it. This is what the scripture says. And this is what it means when there'll be a time when men will seek death and they won't be able to find it, because they're gonna try to die to themselves. They're going to try to surrender to the Lord, and won't be able to, because there's a time coming when no man can work, when the workers of the field will not be, when the gospel message will no longer have an effect. And when is this? I don't know. I don't think it's. I'm not going to set any dates, but the plumb line, when the Lord sets the plumb line and passes by no more, there's going to be a time when the truth will no longer pass you by. The truth that's passing you by right now, you know, it's passing by right now. And how many more times is it going to happen? I wouldn't want to take that chance in the times that we're seeing right now. And, you know, and I'm going to say goodnight myself and pass it around the table one more time. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and really thank our friend Gordon for being with us. It was very, very insightful having you with us, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, it's always a pleasure. You're welcome anytime, Gordon. I always enjoy speaking with you. Learn many things from
you. Yeah, likewise.
Well, the Lord gives us all a little piece of the puzzle here, and it's just really fun to get together and have church. That's what this was. This was church. You know, this was a assembly, an assembly of the ecclesia, the called out ones. And, you know, this is church. You know, this is a small C, a little gathering here tonight.
Without any hireling shepherds.
No hireling shepherds. No DVD studies for $29.95.
And we haven't put up the PayPal button either.
No.
Yeah. Gordon, I can't thank you enough. It's a, you know, your shows are wonderful. And I'll tell you, audience, if you haven't listened to Gordon's histories of the books that were taken now off of the rolls where they're not printed anymore, and you can go back on that site and find just about all the information covered that we've covered tonight. And Gordon, what are you working on lately?
Websites too.
The one I'm about three quarters of the way finished with The History of Tammany Hall by Gustavus Myers, written a little over a century ago, and it really shows the folly of the act of voting, because every election since at least 1820, every national election in America was just ridiculously fraught with fraud on a gigantic scale.
So, yeah, you can't even prove that your vote counts in the first place, especially with the computers.
No.
I mean, yeah, and I believe that, too. Yeah, it's a strong illusion of freedom, you know. And I say in the end times, you know, I don't believe in an end times singular antichrist, but the system will be antichrist, and the people will vote the system in.
Yeah,
I agree with that, Phil.
Yeah, President. I'm going to stick my neck out and go along with what James Lloyd says. I think Barack Obama is the closest thing we'll see to an antichrist, and I think I think we're in the end run here. I actually don't really see another election. I'm sticking my neck out. I could be wrong, but scripture, this pattern in scripture, this
you could get spiritually beheaded there, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I always thought that would be a good cartoon in the French Revolution, have the caption saying, no, this is metaphoric. But anyway, that's all I have to say. And it was
Bob,
really
always,
great. Go ahead.
It's always fun to hear Bob's Midwestern accent.
Is that what that is? Yeah, I'm a couple. Zip codes away from Bob. I guess that.
Oh yeah, you're that's right. You're over there too. You know, I haven't heard it. You guys, the Midwest, the folks, they twang their A's in a certain way. They're short A vowel sound. And
yeah, when I was running my business, I would always love to pick up on the vernacular from around the country. I could always pick out where people were from. I love the Wisconsin, Norwegian, you betcha.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. But don't forget, too, you know, Bob is Irish. So, you know.
That got something to do with it, maybe, yeah? We
still let him join us. It's okay. I'm just kidding. Anyway, well, we're just going to, say goodnight and thank everyone for listening, for tuning in, and joining us with Gordon's website. What is it? Rejectedknowledge.com? Is that what it is, Gordon?
Oh, it's something like rejectedknowledge.wordpress.com. Do a search for Rejected Knowledge, and it'll be right there.
Well, we've got a link to it on our site, and that's watchmanweekly.com. And you know, there's a study guide on...
There's a lot of really good stuff on... but he has two of them. One is the Rejected Knowledge, and what's the other one?
My old show's the Ministry of Truth.
Ministry of Truth, right, yeah. Yeah, those are excellent, too.
But it's just, it's just a pleasure to, you know, count you guys as my brothers. And as we navigate through these perilous times, and, you know, the Lord does provide, and he... You know, certainly is, we can all testify in our lives. I know all three of you guys, and know that the Lord is definitely, working, and, the praises that he gets for, healing, your family. Gordon, I just give him all the glory, and we're just going to keep plugging together, and I'm excited to, have you as friends. And till next time, this is Chris Ardern and Watchman Weekly saying goodnight.